You've tuned in to Motorcycle Radio. Please note, turning off this podcast may damage your radio. And here's your host, Ian Richardson.
Okay, welcome to Motorcycle Radio Podcast. We've got a great guest coming up on Monday. We're going to be interviewing him live in his garage with his bike. This will appeal particularly to riders who look to ride in Europe on classic bikes. So a classic Triumph T140, I believe, owned by this person for four decades or more, and is going to be riding it through Europe with his wife, telling us all about it on Monday. So look forward to that one. Some great news. We've got some Motorcycle Radio Podcast stickers, quite discreet, nice little stickers on the inside of your windscreen, on your bike, on your car, van, etc. So each person that subscribes and comments, subscribes and comments, is going to get one of these sent to them. So that's that'll be great. Just had them done. So I just wanted to give us a bit of news whilst we wait for our podcast on Monday. Some latest happenings, really, that I've noticed. Some things that I've been looking through and thinking, well, people are going to have to look at all this. It took me hours as I, you know, research all the latest news. So I thought, well, why don't I put it all into one for people? And it might just help people. It's like we're on a ship the way we move in there. So excuse us. Langan Motorcycles. So I don't know if you've seen that, but they are teasing a turbocharged version of their Lightspeed model. It's a British motorcycle manufacturer. It's like a muscle cruiser, if you've seen it. I will put some pictures on there. And that's this announcement, surprisingly, has come at the same time as a call for some public investment to support the future expansion. It's always difficult, isn't it? You know, are people going to invest in something at a time when, you know, motorcycling seems to be more and more challenging when it comes to the industry and riding? I don't know. But there's one thing for sure, if people don't invest, it'll disappear. And as we've seen with Chinese manufacturers, they're getting better and better. I mean, they've always been good. It's just that they've made some absolute garbage to make it cheap. And now prices are getting up there, just a grand or two below established European, Japanese and British manufacturers. They're proving how good they can be. So if we don't invest in these British brands and European brands and American brands, depending where you're reading this from, you know, they will disappear and they will be replaced by Chinese brands. Now, this Langan bike, it's going to be, can you imagine how exhilarating that experience will be? I mean, they already have this classic design, and talk about modern performance, but to have a turbo on a bike, you know, it has been tried before. It'll be an amazing thing if it happens. Let's see. I also noticed that the Overland event returns for 2025. As most people who have been to that or read about it, it didn't happen last year. So it's set to make a comeback back in Oxfordshire on, I think, August the 28th. 3 days, 28, 29, 30, 31, it might be 4 days, Friday to Monday, at the Hill End Centre. And that, as people know, I'm sure, celebrates motorcycle travel. And I've loads of really, really interesting guest speakers. I haven't been asked yet, but I will potentially make room for that. I'll be there anyway. Lots of demo rides and much, much more. It really is a must-attend event for adventure enthusiasts looking to connect, you know, and share the passion for, I guess, exploring on two wheels, as opposed to, you know, nowadays there seems to be lots of people, you know, sling one of those tents of Amazon on the, you know, 4x4 or even their sort of I don't know, Land Rover Sport, Range Rover Sport, anything that looks a bit like that. And they put a tent on and they do that and they go and do a fortnight's holiday. And that's amazing. And, you know, it's great. I mean, I'd much prefer that than sit on a beach in Benidorm. However, for us, I think being on two wheels is we want to explore. So Overland event returns 2025, August 28 to 31, I think, at a Hill End Centre in Oxfordshire. So Google that or look at Motorcycle News, which is where I am. Now, whether this is not really KTM news, but it is interesting. We looked at, on several of our podcasts, we've talked about KTM and what's happening there. They're all a bit worrying. Not that long ago, Europe's largest motorcycle manufacturer, literally sinking fast. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of unsold bikes all throughout the world. It's really scary. Now, they're discounting them massively to get rid. And I think that's spooked other manufacturers of similar bikes, like, for example, Ducati. Not because they're going bust, but because people who might have been like, am I going to buy a Ducati, specifically the Multistrada, the V4 range, or a KTM, are going to be like, ooh, $4,000 for KTM, $5,000 for KTM. Take the gamble, they're not going to go bust, or if they do, the Chinese or the Indian support that they've got will mean that, you know, they're taken over by one of those two companies. So they've reduced their appreciation on their interest rates to 4.9%, which is really, really low for a finance on a bike. The days of interest free have gone, and let's be honest, we all, anybody who's dealt with bikes or cars, there's no such thing as interest free. You know, you pay for it somehow. But they have reduced theirs from what was still competitive to 4.9% appreciation on any finance deal across its entire Multistrada V4 range, as well as the Diavol V4 Diavol. I mean, I'm not sure anyone ever bought them. They must have sold some, but they are really beautiful. But talk about an investment. You know, I'm not sure that I could afford to. Or could I afford it? Yeah, possibly. Would I afford it? Well, I choose to. Don't think so. But anyway, 4.9%. And it does make it much more accessible for riders who want to, you know, have one of those Multistrada V4 models, which are absolutely beautiful bikes. Now then, interestingly, as we have got so many dealers closing down, not just throughout the UK, but in the States, Harley dealers just closing down as if they're going out of fashion. Talk a bit about Harley in a minute. And lots of dealers just crashing to the ground in the UK. Interestingly, in France, they're just about to open Europe's largest motorcycle shopping complex. Sadly, it's in Lyon, which is quite a long way away, but still, it's a cheap Ryanair flight if people wanted to go and look at it. And unfortunately, whatever you think of Brexit, it's going to cost you more money to buy anything from Europe now, as I have found out to my cost massively as a result of my business. So, yeah, on the international front, massive 16,000 square metre motorcycle complex named Motown. Now, as a man of a certain age, Motown to me means African-American, if you're American, or black music, in predominantly anyway, in 1970s, 60s, 70s in the States. But I think in this case, it's not got that theme at all, having looked into it. Not that you would expect it to, but just for clarity, it actually means motorcycle town. It's going to open in Lyon, the outskirts of Lyon, in France, on the 18th of April, having a big opening there. And it will be, without any doubt, the largest motorcycling shopping complex in Europe. 20 separate manufacturers are going to be represented in that complex. Motorcycle equipment, services, bikes. I mean, that's some massive investment there. I guess for those of us who have ridden, holidayed, driven, or been in that part of France, they get much nicer weather than us. And the reality is their riding season's much longer. And a lot of these brands, I guess, are going to be scooters, They're going to be mopeds, they're going to be electric bikes. The take-up on that and those three segments is much bigger there than it is for us. But really, really interesting. It's going to be a real hub for motorcyclists across southern, central France, and potentially neighbouring countries. So that's interesting. You can read more about that on visordown.com. Now, I said I'd talk about Harley. I love Harleys. I've never had a Harley, but I've ridden them. I've ridden lots of them. We can't pretend they are technological, amazing, modern, powerful, but modern bikes. They're not. They're still agricultural compared to British, European, and Japanese brands. I mean, they're stuck in the past in many ways. I know they've got much more modern engines now, but they don't sound the same. They're extremely large and don't give out a lot of power. They all use, other than the bikes in India and the Chinese ones that are going to be coming to Europe and to the States, whatever people think, they all use that massive engine that's a V-twin engine that, you know, look, the SS-style air and oil-cooled engine. They sell on the fact, I think anyway, this is why I think. If you think differently, comments below, let me know, especially if you're in the States or you're a lover of Harley. They've got Victory, which was amalgamated into Indian, and the last Victories were renamed as Indians, and now they've got Indian and Harley Davidson in the States. And then they've got some like Confederate crazy and built things. But the reality is there's only two manufacturers there. I think there's someone putting a Chinese engine in a framey builds, but you know, the reality is you've got two major manufacturers, both making similar cruiser bikes. They've had the go at the adventure bike, looked like Robbie the Robot. You can pick them up for next to nothing second hand now. Every bike looks as if they've had to build it around that engine. So the Sportsters look like this beautiful, sporty little, you know, bike. It's like, oh, it looks amazing. How are we going to finish it? Put this little tank on top of the engine because there's no room really. So rather than make it look like a traditional bike, we can't really. It's got to be top heavy. It's got to have this stuck on top. And they literally look ridiculous. But some of the big bikes, because they hide that engine much better, do look great, but they're not powerful. They are sold on tradition. They're sold on history. And they're sold on the fact that Americans, although God only knows, that country is split, you know, now awfully, literally in half of Republican Democrats. It's gone mad. In my opinion, that country has lost its way. It's so sad to see such a beautiful, amazing country with such wonderful people being divided in this way. But one thing they do have is pride in being American. And that's why they buy Harley. They are like a man's bike. They go, you know, the whole hog thing. They go with the leathers, the chaps, the stuff. In England, if you wore that, you'd be a laughing stock. And some people do. They buy into that brand, and that's great. But if you were just a normal, like me now, if I go outside here, my neighbour on his Suzuki, me on my BM or my track, went out with a pair of chaps on and a jacket, a leather jacket with patches on the back, they'd think I'd lost it. But people are buying into a brand because it's one, only one of two brands, and two, because it's American. But slowly, of course, more and more of those bikes are coming from China and the Far East, like everybody else's, let's be honest. But because of that, and I've gone on a lot about Harley, it's because it's like a love-hate relationship. They're not good bikes, but they're amazing bikes. They feel great. They've got something about them. When you're on one, people look, can't help it because they hear you. And you're buying into that hog world It's like, you know, buying a Harry Potter sword. It's a piece of plastic worth 30 pence. You spend 25 quid for it at Harry Potter World in Florida or in the one in England because it's attached to that brand. It's no good. It's just a piece of plastic. It's crap. Not that I'm suggesting that Harley are crap, but, you know, you're buying into a brand. But unfortunately, the world's changing. And they're in decline. There's no ifs or buts about it. Their revenue this year, at best, is going to remain flat, potentially decline by 5 or 10%. 10%, 5% to a company like that is massive. And that's the worldwide tightening of people's available money. People can't. They price themselves so high. I was listening to a podcast. I won't name them, but I listen to loads of podcasts. And I was listening to some American guys in the northeast of the States, all love Harley's, talking about how, you know, that you can't help it. Subliminally, they're very open when it comes to different manufacturers. But the reality is, you can always tell when Americans are talking about Harley. They don't slag it off on their podcast because that's the end of them. Because in America, you've only got Harley and Indian. If you slag them off, you're finished. They're always a bit careful. And I don't blame them. You know, I honestly don't blame them. But they accept that you cannot expect people to be paying £25,000, £30,000 for a bike. And sell loads of them, because the people that, you know, had that money either aren't spending it or haven't got it. The world's changing, and that's why, just like every other manufacturer, they're looking to outsource it. That's why they're selling them, trying to get developing countries to buy them in India, and they're selling like hotcakes. It's still amazing coming in India to have Harley Davidson written on their bike, but the Americans won't buy them. They tried it, didn't they? Stopped making the 750 and the 500. They just won't have it. They're not Harley. They're not made by our American brethren. Well, you've got to make a choice. Do you want the company to survive, or do you want to do, you want to do a Triumph BSA, Norton Villiers Triumph? Do you want to just stubbornly grind yourself into oblivion? I'm not sure. God forbid that would happen, because I still think as I get older, you know, I might choose to have a Harley just because they look good with fat blokes on them. They're expensive, but it's easier than losing weight. Massively rising inflation, higher borrowing costs in the States. Now with this split, when it comes to, I read an article and it said something, Democrats don't ride motorcycles. A ridiculous comment that tries to separate working class Americans who vote far right to middle class educated Democrats who vote far left, forgetting that just like in the UK, most people are here. Right, left, centrist. Not many people are lunatics on the far right or lunatics on the far left. And the only reason you potentially think that they are is because people want you to think that on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and God forbid, things like Telegram. It's their business to stir up this separation and hatred and make us think that we're this far apart and we're not. But it's interesting that some article thinks none of these buy bikes, which only left to these, and these tend to be working class people. They can't afford £30,000 for a bike. Interesting, eh? So the word has it that Harley wants to focus on touring bikes and custom vehicle operations because they're just not selling those bikes as they do now. I mean, done away with the Sportster completely now, haven't they? Higher margin means higher price. Touring bikes. I'm not sure with the current range of engines people are going to be touring far on them bikes. I know people who've gone around the world on Harleys, 1940s, 1950s Harleys. It's not the norm. You better have some mechanical knowledge. So, you know, they're trying to target those affluent customers to try and get around those challenges. Let's see what happens there. Let's hope somebody sees sense and realizes you've got to diversify. You've got to try and sell to that huge majority of people, a group of people that are now looking to buy smaller bikes. I said on a podcast back in December, I think the days of massive bikes are on the way out. And I wish I had made a podcast about it, because as usual, you know, I'm really busy. So as usual, I didn't. And then, you know, within a few weeks, everyone's saying it. The reality is, why do you think that Honda have just brought out that 350 made in Japan, selling it for next to nothing, amazing quality? Why a CF Moto? Why a Hero? Why are all these companies making smaller bikes? It's 50 and under is the world, I'm afraid, now. That's not to say they won't be big bikes. None of my bikes are that small. But the reality is, I think that is the future. It's cheaper to ship, the cheaper to maintain, cheaper to tax, cheaper to insure, cheaper to ride, lighter as people get older, lighter for people to travel, and cheaper to buy in the first place, in a world where people haven't got as much money. So talking about Hero, Hero Motor Corp has reported a massive profits increase. So if you think of the 5 or 10% loss that Harley are talking about, India's Hero Motor Corp has reported a 12% rise just in their third quarter. 12% rise in profit. That's £137.4 million profit. Not turnover. That's after paying all your electric, all your transport costs, your heating, your lighting, your acquisition of your buildings, your wages, your national insurance, your taxes, the manufacturing materials to make your bikes. $137.4 million profit. Now that growth is driven by increased sales of their 125 machines. I'm just talking about smaller bikes that potentially are going to be a big thing, such as the Xtreme Noe Xtreme 125R saw a 53% jump in sales. I know that if you're on a 125 in the States, it's like, but in places that are developing, places that I know of, Philippines, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, and a myriad of other places that are developing in the same way, masses of traffic. No, you don't ride on any side of the road, you just ride, you know, where there's a gap. If you're on anything bigger than a 125, you're going to struggle. A lot of them make 150s. The reason it's 125 in the UK, of course, is because of the licensing. But that company really dominates that entry-level segment of models. They've got the new Splendor. If you look on Reuters.com, they've got a, it's more of a financial element in their reporting, but it tells you a little bit about that. If you Google the Hero Splendor, the Hero Xtreme 125R, you can have a look at them. And of course, they're partnering with lots of really massive European and American manufacturers. Mentioned CF Moto earlier. Now, CF Moto, I don't even know if this is, I thought it might be April the 1st, but I'm not sure. Turns out that lots of research, please put it down there and show me where it is, because I can't find it. And I am not the type of person that says, that wants people to say, prove it. I'm reading the news, and this news was from visordown.com. I'm not saying this is right, but is it a joke that in a unique development, CF Moto is pioneering the integration of seatbelts into motorcycles? Because they just, someone's found the patent findings, filings for their upcoming 750 SR and R sports bike. CF Moto, you see, you know, I mean, are they going to own KTM soon? I don't know. But they are getting bigger and bigger bikes. It was only very short few years ago that people were saying, well, the Chinese will start making bigger bikes, not just your mopeds and your 125s and your 150s and putting them together, knock down boxes in, you know, developing countries. And sure enough, we know what's happening, don't we? I mean, is that a significant shift in motorcycling safety? I don't think it was received by the riding community very well. I can't imagine wearing a seatbelt on a bike. I can't imagine thinking, I can't get off. Although, tell me what you think, because a lot of people say if you drop your bike, you don't get off it. You stay on your bike and try and brake until the last bit. But I'm guaranteeing you, having ridden since I was 14 on an old... what did I have? The first bike I had wasn't mine, it was my dad's. Dad was a biker. He had a scooter for work, and it was a Capri, made in Italy. So when everybody else had the Vespa and the Lambretta, we had a Capri scooter, white and blue. If anyone's heard of them, I'd really love to see any information or photographs of them. But as that got beyond use for my dad, I think my dad got a Triumph Thunderbird. I ended up with that just for ragging it around the fields. I look at kids doing it around here now and I think, oh, you little swines. But I used to do it. And the fuel tank was rusted to bits, so my dad had a squeezy bottle, washing up liquid bottle, tie wrapped it. Well, actually, a bit of wire then. I don't even know if there were any tie wraps in the mid 70s, maybe. Anyway, I can't remember, but that was my petrol tank. And I rode that around. That was my first bike. And I'd been riding then legally since I was 16, Honda SS50, and bought a brand new Suzuki GT125, tiny little nose fairing on it. Red, two-stroke. Anybody here knows anything about them, let me know. In the comments below, please. And then I've been riding ever since. I'm 61, so that's a long time. What's that? 46 years. And I'm telling you, if I'm just about to slide under a van or a lorry, and the bike's going under, I'm getting off it. And if I've got a seatbelt on, it somehow feels as if I'm trapped. And I remember when seatbelts become mandatory in cars, listening to people saying, if there's a fire, you'll be trapped, and that's why I don't wear mine. So I understand that people have similar concerns now as they did when seatbelts were becoming mandatory. It's madness, but I'm not sure. Do you want to be stuck on that bike or not? Let me know. I think Visor Down reported that, but I have found that in quite a few places. It absolutely is a fact that they've filed those patents for seatbelts on bikes. Switzerland. It's a difficult place to ride in Switzerland. They have some real stringent measures when it comes to safety and speed, as people will know if they've ridden there. And now they are implementing some really strict noise regulations for motorcycles. And they're going to include fines and potential restrictions, which will restrict your license temporarily to smaller bikes. So that's going to really hurt people there. There's lots of environmental considerations impacting on our policies of motorcycling, I've noticed. Now, you know, whether because the United States seems to be reversing the clock back to 1972 when it comes to everything, whether the world will follow, and I think it will. If I'm honest, I see the support for gay and trans people. I see the support for disability. I see the support for anything that's diversity, anything that's about the economy, anything that's about the environment is just being abandoned in the States. And you know what they say, don't you? Everything that happens in the States happens in the UK 5 or 10 years later. And I can already feel, you can sense it, the passion for supporting the environment, for supporting disabilities, for supporting immigration, for supporting trans rights, for supporting pride marches, for whatever it is slowly, slowly, slowly diminishing. Don't know what you think about that, good or bad, but we've come a long way and we're dropping back very, very quickly. So I'm not sure whether these will come out here, but I've got a friend in Switzerland who says that he is, don't know if he works in highways agency or something, but they are trialing these AI cameras and they pick up speed, noise, for cars as well, whether you're on your phone, whether both hands are on the wheel, how many passengers you've got in the car, whether you're looking at the car, whether you're tired, how long you've been riding, and they all driving, so the from one to the other, and they are trying to integrate it with electric cars or cars with stuff built in, so they can say, look, you've been driving now since you turned that car on, because they're all connected, aren't they? You turned your car on at 8 a.m. this morning, it's now 12 o'clock, you've been driving for 4 hours. So we're going to reduce your speed down now to 40 miles an hour until you had a rest. Then you're going to have to stop. Dangerous, eh? Really dangerous. I think I'll stick to my Triumph Thunderbird with 3 carburetors and no way of connecting it to anything. That's a bit scary. But anyway, interesting. Let's see what happens to that. So, guys, that's all for this week's update. We're doing regular updates now. Stay safe. Please subscribe. As you may know, this is a non-profit, not just non-profit, but a non-monetized channel. Really proud that we've got 20,000 views now. We've got 1,700 subscribers, which is great. But if people don't like this podcast, if people don't subscribe to it, if people don't comment, then the algorithms on YouTube just ignore it, and I'm sat here for nothing, which is a shame, really, because I'd like people to be able to come to one place and look at all the news and also look at our guests on the podcast as well. So these podcasts also go out the audio on Apple Podcast, on Amazon, on Audible, on all the podcast hosts. So please like and give a 5-star review if you think you've enjoyed it. If you don't like it, please don't leave a review. That would be crap. I don't want that. if you can support it in any way, please do. And if you can, you'll notice that on YouTube now, somebody told me about, just about to go, but I like to talk. So all these people with all these ways of raising money for the channel, you don't get money from subscribing, but people say, what have they got? Patreon and join my group, and great for them, not criticizing them in any way, shape, or form, but that's not my style. But somebody did say, you can do this thing, buy me a coffee, so people can literally just give you a few quid for a coffee. And I thought, that'd be nice. So I've added that as a link on all the YouTube's channels. So please, if you've got a couple of quid and you're not going to get yourself a coffee today, then that'd be great if you wouldn't mind doing that. It just helps, because I have to record all these on Zoom, and Zoom charges for the professional version, the Zoom workplace. I have to pay for the podcast RSS licenses and my video editing software, etc., etc. And I would say each podcast costs around 50, 60 quid, 70, 80 dollars if in American dollars. So they're not free for me, but I stand the cost because I enjoy doing it. I like talking to people about bikes. But that's why I do my podcasts. And don't forget, if you comment and like it and subscribe, you can get one of these amazing Motorcycle Radio podcast stickers. If you're in the UK, I'll send you that free. If you subscribe and like it, give me a review. If you're overseas, I'll send it you at cost. I don't want to make any money out of it, but the stickers are free, and I have just had those delivered, lots of them. Again, it's another couple of £100 that I've had to pay out. But I'm not begging for money. I do it because I love it. So that's all for this week's update. Stay safe. Please keep the rubber side down. And until next time, ride on.